Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning and welcome to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Grant. I'm joined in the studio today by Pontiac Township High School Superintendent John Kilgore. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we're recording this on Wednesday because I had to snag you for an interview after your big presentation this morning with the Pontiac Area Chamber of Commerce Issues and Eggs. You were talking about the STEM and STEAM programs. Now, can we get a quick explanation of how those work, please?
Yes. Superintendent of 429 Brian Dukes and Career Center Director Tara Graves and I gave a presentation at Issues and Eggs, and we talked about STEAM, and it began as STEM, and now it's growing into STEAM, and that's science, technology, engineering, arts, and in our case at the high school, ag, and mathematics. And so it's bringing those all together and trying to critically think, solve problems, real-world applications, and do learning through applied learning activities across those curriculums.
Okay. So you gave a lot of examples of how this works. Like one of them was bridge building. That takes arts sometimes, or recreating different things.
Yeah. A popular activity across the country is a physics experiment where you build a bridge with, say, toothpicks or popsicle sticks, and then you design the bridge, and you have to apply all kinds of mathematics and engineering to it, and obviously the physics and science of it to withstand the greatest amount of weight. And so obviously that's very important in real bridge building, but you do it on a model scale, and then it's a contest of how much weight you can have, and it's a fun learning project. So that's a great example of different things that can be done. For example, you could do an egg drop from a certain height. You build a contraption and you drop it to try to preserve the egg when it hits the ground, and you see how high you can go. And so those are types of activities that are popular.
So you gave a really interesting example of what your classes are going to be doing, hopefully soon, combining, what was it, one of Paul Ritter's classes, environmental science?
Yeah, so science classes with Paul Ritter, also with physics teacher Sarah Verdon, also our chorus director, and that's the arts part that makes STEAM exciting, Joseph Durbin, and a technology teacher in the Career Center in Doug Mashing. And so bringing them all together for a project, and they are partnering with DePaul University to send weather balloons up in the sky. And they've been doing that. Paul Ritter's been doing that for a while. But when you connect these others into the fray, you now can create experiments that connect and send up into the edge of space and how those experiments are impacted by altitude. So you can send weather instruments up for an environmental perspective. You can send up, Joseph Durbin wants to send, and his students send things up and listen to how sounds change as the altitude goes up and that type of an experiment. That will be a very interesting one, and I'll touch on here in a moment. But the technology of the instruments that go up for measuring, as well as the physics of designing boxes, and you can design a very sturdy box, but it has to be super lightweight so that you can send multiple experiments at one time into space. So they have to design very light construction, durable boxes to protect the instruments as they come on back down. They are going 100,000 feet into the air, literally to the edge of space, before the balloon pops. And then they have to track it down and use GPS and all that good stuff to find it. The last time they did one, it was about 35 miles away from here when they found it.
I say that was the one that Grover was attached to,
correct,
right? That was fun. That was fun to follow that.
Yeah, so they're literally and figuratively taking this to the next level by including those other groups. So the exciting part of STEAM is when you add all these groups together, because who would have thought to add a chorus class into the mix?
And how is that going to work? I'm kind of interested. You gave a great example this morning, and I want our listeners to hear this so it can be better understood, I guess.
Well, if I were to say to take some tuning forks and hit them, and you hear the ping that comes off of that, that's an inanimate object. And you take that and you go up and into the altitude, and it probably doesn't change much as it goes up there. However, our voices are based on more or less air tubes. So it's not that the tube that changes we go up in altitude, but it's the air that changes. So if you could imagine,
when the air changes within our lungs, such as the helium I just inhaled, things change.
And you're slowly going back to normal now.
So as a result of the altitude or the change of air, our voice may sound different in space. So while we don't have the funds to send actual students into the edge of space, they are creating some experiments where they can play recordings, for example. They're devising things that they can send up and see how the altitude impacts voice, for example. Why is that important, Cindy?
Because we're going to populate space one day, right? I mean, that was my guess.
You are taking it to the next frontier. But what I'm thinking about are Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci and even modern times. But if you think of those really famous people who are famous at the highest pinnacle of human artistic levels, they were scientists as much as artists. Michelangelo had to work with cadavers and understanding the human body and muscle structure in order to make such human-like, not only paintings, but also in 3D, the sculptures. And just the science that Leonardo da Vinci has is still mind-blowing today. So those examples are when you have the understanding of the science behind things, you can become a better artist. For example, if you understand the science behind your voice, you could be a more accomplished singer, and understanding that and how your body reacts to certain levels, whether that be here or a mile high in Denver, for example.
That's exactly what I was thinking about this morning, how, you know, athletes have a little difficulty if they've never been to Denver before, and musicians, especially with, I want to say brass instruments, have a little bit more difficulty there. From what I remember, I haven't done that kind of stuff in a while.
Yeah, so when you can understand the physical world and how that impacts things and just the full comprehension of the scientific and physical world that we have, you can become a more accomplished artist as well.
And it's interesting to see how nothing really stands alone. It's all tied in with so many different things. And this is basically what you're teaching your students.
Absolutely.
How
so
everything works together.
We are trying to move from one level where our students are in silos within discipline, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, arts, and then trying to blend them together. So this example that's happening with the weather balloons is a great way to break out of those silos of just their traditional course and connecting across the courses and multiple teachers and multiple perspectives so they have a greater comprehension of the learning.
So my last question for you is, once you break away from that silo learning and go into the pyramid of how everything is tied together, what kind of difference do you think this is going to make in the long term for your students?
Once you start to be more motivated and intrinsically motivated to learn, and you want to become a lifelong learner, and you do that through these exciting activities, and there's a theory called the flow theory by a Hungarian named very long name, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi is his name. And that concept is when you get into flow, you are 100% laser beam focused in what you're doing, and you're doing that intrinsically because you are excited about it. It's challenging. You're applying skills, and you want to learn. When we get to that level, instead of sit and get and drill and kill in classrooms, and you get to a point where you're getting students into that flow mode, any of us can probably think of an example of when we were so focused on what we were doing that we lost all track of time and space, and we had no, you know, all of a sudden it's 3, 4, 8 hours later, you were having so much fun and so much focused on it, you didn't care about the clock, you didn't care about eating. And so that's what's really exciting. When we can get to a certain level of that within our classroom, students are more motivated and they're more in tune and they're more engaged, and that's what we're hoping comes out of this.
And when you have all those things added up, do you think it adds to a little bit less stress maybe for your students?
I think there's a certain level, in fact, on that flow scale. If you're off kilter and not crossing the appropriate levels of challenge and skill, you get to a point where you're either apathetic because it's so boring for you, or you're at an anxiety level because you're learning something at such a high level, but you don't have the skills that go along with it. And then you're just worried about things and how am I going to do this? But when you apply the skill to that high level of knowledge and you start practicing it, you see, oh, I can do this and this is enjoyable. And that's the flow part that we're trying to accomplish.
Very good. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to inhale helium on the radio. And I guess that in of itself is somewhat of a scientific experiment.
Very good. We've been speaking with John Kilgore. He's a superintendent for District 90 Schools. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You've been listening to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Graff for Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ.